everybody in here this morning. I appreciate that song. I believe in Jesus Christ. If you believe in God, say amen. I'm thankful my Bible says, in the beginning, God. And I just choose to believe it. You say, well, if God would just reveal Himself to us, then I'd believe. Well, go outside and look up. God revealed Himself to you and me pretty good. I love sunsets. I talk to it about Monica all the time. I love to study the moon, the stars. You know, with man and how smart man is, he still hadn't been able to create a cloud, put it up in the sky. He still hadn't been able to make a star and hang it in the sky on nothing. I believe in God. Amen. Amen. And the wonder of that is that that God that created all that loves you and me. Well, I'm thankful for that this morning. If you if you're here last week, it might look a little different in here to you. Anybody notice? The light's a little bit different. You believe they made me try to get up there and change them? I got up there and I changed one back here, and I said, I don't like this. That's too high for me. I made Steve get up there and do them. I was a supervisor. I just pointed the fingers. No, but Steve did a good job on them. I like roller coasters, but I don't like being up high without anything to hold me in. My goodness. Well, and you probably saw this morning they got the holes dug out there and all that other stuff and just doing some work this week. And we do appreciate the people that came out and did all the work for the church this week. And I really wanted them to put in the light so I could see when y'all was sleeping back here. I can see you a lot better back here. I see you back here, Landon. Don't be sleeping. I can see you now. All right. Well, I heard something this morning. I forgot what it was. Somebody was telling me they was visiting somebody in the homebound. And it made me think about my pastor. He went and visited this woman that was in the nursing home. And there were some peanuts sitting there on her table. And her name was Ruth. And she went to the bathroom to go to use the bathroom. And my pastor was just sitting there. He said, well, I'm going to eat some peanuts. So he got to grabbing the peanuts and eating them. And Miss Ruth came back out of the bathroom. And my pastor looks at her and he says, Miss Ruth, these peanuts are really good. And she looked at him and said, they were a lot better when they had chocolate on them. Some of y'all get that when you get home. Well, that's all right. All righty. Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 13. Miss Nan already knew the end of that joke. She was already laughing. It's a true story. It wasn't my pastor. It was somebody's pastor. All right. Numbers chapter 13 is where we'll be this morning. And I do want to say that this week I'll be over in Lincolnton. No, Boger City. And they're having a youth camp over there all this week, and I'm the speaker every night. So I do ask that you'll be praying for us. I hope they enjoy the same sermon every night because I only got one. But it is it's an open invitation to everybody. I talked to the guys yesterday, and it starts at 6 o'clock tonight over at Boger City Baptist if anybody wants to come, and then it's Monday through Thursday at 7 o'clock every night. So feel free to come over there, and I know you probably don't want to hear me throughout the week. You get enough of me on Sunday, but if you ain't doing anything, just come on over and see what the Lord will do for us over there. All right. I think that's all we got for this morning. So everybody at Numbers chapter 13? Amen? All right. All right, well, as we give you a little background of where we are here in this text, and as we come to Numbers chapter 13, we find that the children of Israel are on the banks of the Promised Land. And in chapter 13, verse number 1 and 2, God tells Moses, He says, I want you to take one person out of every tribe of Israel, and I want you to send them into the land of Canaan and see what it looks like. And then I want you to bring back a report of what it is, what it looks like, so that when we go, we might be able to take over and it become our land. And the people go, 12 spies go to search out the land of Canaan. And they do it for 40 days. And that's where we pick up in verse number 25 of Numbers chapter 13. It's where we'll start. The Bible says in verse number 25, "And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong in the land. The cities are walled and very great, and moreover we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea," a lot of ites there, "and by the coast of the Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." In chapter number 14, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain and return unto Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not." And that's where we'll stop. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. We find as we come to these chapters that Israel should have been entering the Promised Land without any questions asked. But yet a problem comes up. And usually every time God is getting ready to do something big in the Bible, or even in you, or mine's life, a problem don't come up right before it. And it's don't test us. And it's inevitable in this life that you and I are going to have problems in our life. There's nothing that we can do about it. Every day that we wake up, more than likely you don't encounter a problem. And we have two choices when it comes to those problems. See, we can't do much about the problem, but the only thing that we can do is how we react to it. And what we do in response to the problem. And there's two choices. Deal with problems the way the 10 spies did, or deal with those problems the way that Caleb and Joshua did. See, Caleb, in verse number 30 of chapter number 13, he said, "Let's go. For we are well able to overcome it." In verse number 31, the 10 spies that went up with Joshua and Caleb came back at Caleb and said, "Are you kidding me? We be not able." You see the contrast? Caleb said, "We're well able, let's go." The 10 said, "I'm not going. We're not able to go and do this." And I want to tell you this morning that no matter what problem you're going through this morning, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you've been this week. But I just stopped by to tell you this morning that if you're a child of God, we are well able. And that's what we're going to preach this morning. We are well able. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we want to just thank you for the service that we've already had. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the fellowship, God, that we've able to have, Lord, this morning. I just pray that you'll be with the remainder of the service, Father. I pray that you'll take your word and put it into the hearts of your people, God. And I pray that you'll just soften our hearts to receive your word, God, that we might walk out of this place closer to you than when we walked in. And Father, I don't know what anybody in here is going through this morning, but I do know that this world brings problems to us every single day. But I'm thankful that you're a God that's a problem solver. And I'm thankful this morning that you're a God that still answers prayer, that you're a God that's still able, that you're a God that's still on our side. For the Bible says, for God, if God be for us, who can be against us? And Lord, I'm thankful this morning that you're for us. Lord, if we'll just get on your side. Lord, we thank you this morning. I pray you'll cleanse us of self and fill us with your Spirit, God, and do for us what only you can do for us. And Lord, we'll be sure to give you the glory and praise for all that takes place. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. In the midst of this huge problem, Caleb and Joshua stare at it right in the face and say, we're well able. While the other 10 look at it and said, we can't do anything about this. How was Caleb able to stare in the midst of his problem that everybody else was going through too and say, we are well able? Number one, I want you to look at Caleb's focus. Caleb's focus. First of all, look at the 10 spies' focus in verse number 27. They come to Moses. They're given a report of the land. They said, we came into the land which you sent us to, and it's got milk, it's got honey, and this is the fruit of it. The fruit was so big in Canaan that it took two people to get on one side of the branch, the other person got on the other side of the branch, and they had to carry it. But look at verse 28. What's that first word? Nevertheless. But the people are strong. The cities are walled, and the children of Anak are there, which these people call giants. In other words, these 10 spies were focused on how big their problem was. These 10 spies were focused on how strong the people were and how big the walls were. But now Caleb comes up in verse number 30. And all he says is, let's go up because we're well able to possess it. While these other people were focused on how big the problem was, Caleb chose to focus on God's promise. And what was God's promise? In chapter 13 and verse number 2, this is what God said to Moses. He said, send men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. God said, I'm giving this land to you. The only thing that you've got to do is go and take it. God said, I'm not calling you to go and fight for this land. I've already fought for it. I've already won the battle. I've already won the victory. The only thing that you've got to go is go and take it. And Caleb said, you know what? That's right. God's already conquered the land for us. And that's why Caleb says, let's go and possess it. Not go and take it. Not go and conquer it. Go and possess it. Because God had already done the conquering for them. When we face a problem in our life, how often do we focus on it our whole day? We've talked about that before. When you're going through a problem in your life, the only thing you think about when you go to work that day is that problem. And when we choose to focus on that problem that started this big begins to grow. Because the fact is, whatever you focus your mind on in your life, it's going to get bigger. Whatever you choose to focus on, it's going to get magnified. And these 10 spies chose to focus on how big the problem was. So the problem just kept on getting bigger every time they talked about it. But Caleb chose to focus on how big his God was. See, when you and I encounter problems, the reason we worry is we don't put God in the equation. The reason you and I get worried about problems is we put ourselves against it. And nearly every time we come against a problem, I can look at it, Brother Johnny, and say, that problem's bigger than me. This problem's don't whoop me. But once I put God in it, it changes the whole situation. Because I realize that my God is bigger than anything I'll ever face in this life. Some of you have had cancer and you found out that God is bigger than that. Some of you faced death and you found out that God is bigger than that. Caleb chose to focus on how big God was. But most of the time we get so focused on our problems that we forget what God did for us in the past. See, we're enveloped in this problem that we forget that last time we had a problem, God took care of it. See, the children of Israel had already come to a problem in their life. They had come to the Red Sea. The Egyptians were on this side, the Red Sea was on this side. So they had two choices, drown or go back into slavery. And Moses lifted up his rod and God made a way when there was no way and delivered them from that problem. A few days later, they came to the wilderness. They got thirsty. They couldn't find any water. Moses hit the rock, and water came flowing out. God took care of that problem. A few days later, they got hungry. They couldn't find any food. Guess what God did? He rained down manna from heaven, and He took care of that problem. And so soon did these people forget what God had already done for them. That was a big problem back there. And yet God took He took the Red Sea and split it in half. He could easily whoop these people. And you and I forget so often what God's already done for us. When I'm facing a problem, all I got to do is look back and look and see what Jesus has already done for me in my life and say, He will do it again. Don't forget what God's already done for you. Don't forget last time you had a problem, God came through. And He made a way when there was no way. We still serve a God today that makes a way when we look and there looks like there's no way. He still makes one. Don't forget what God did for you last time. Focus on God's promise rather than how big your problem is. Caleb said, "We're well able." Because God promised we were able. Because God promised to give this land to us. And secondly, Caleb said we are well able because he had confidence in the power of God rather than his own power. Caleb's focus, and number two, we see Caleb's faith. Caleb chose to focus on God's power and God's strength rather than his own. Chapter number 14 and verse number 8, Caleb said, "If the Lord delights in us, then He'll bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them." And look at this. "And the Lord is with us, fear them not." Do you see what Caleb's faith was in? Five words. The Lord is with us. That's what he chose to put his faith in. And the reason you and I can face our problems that we go through every day as a child of God is five words. The Lord is with us. The Bible says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You say, "Well, I've heard since Sunday school that God's everywhere, so obviously He's going to be with me." But in the midst of this problem, I need help. I need strength. I need somebody to uphold me. Well, guess what? God's got that too. He said in the book of Isaiah, "Don't be afraid, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee, yea, I will strengthen thee, and I will uphold thee with the righteousness of my right hand." God says, "Don't be afraid. I'm not just their God. I'm your God. I'm a personal God that's involved in the middle of your life." You say, "But I need help." God said, "I'll help you." You say, "But I need strength." God said, "I'll give you strength." And guess what? When you're weak and you fall down and you can't pick yourself back up, guess what God said? "I will uphold you." He'll uphold you. He'll give you strength in your weakness. And He'll give you help when nobody else can. That's my God. The same God that Caleb had is the same God that you and I have this morning. Caleb chose to focus on God's power rather than his own. We need help. We need strength. We need somebody to uphold us in this life. Because this life gets hard. Anybody found that out? That life ain't all easy. That life gets hard. And God brings us to those places so that we might say, God, I don't have anywhere else to go. You're the only one that I have. Caleb put his faith in God and not in himself. And that's why he was able to be so calm in the midst of this problem. While everybody else was having a panic attack, saying, I'm not going up there. And people are bigger than me. And I about had a panic attack one time when I was playing football in 8th grade. We played a team called Abbeville. And if you'll look in the news, they've won about the past 12 state championships in South Carolina. And I'm just a little small white boy that can't really run that fast. It's not that, I'm a little athletic. But we came up against them boys. Now remind, I'm 14. And they come walking out of the locker room, and they're this big. This big. And I was a running back. So we'd line up right here, and them boys would be on the other side. And I'd have to look them straight in the eyes. And this one boy is about 300 pounds. 6'4". I'm about 5'4". 120. And we got up to the captain to go flip the coin. And I walked up to him like this. I thought, goodness, I'm going to die today. And I look in his eyes, and his eyes were redder than I don't know what. And I thought, my Lord, he's going to kill me. He's either got them contacts that are red or he's been smoking something. And I look up at him, and all I could think was, Lord, don't kill me today. I want to play baseball later. I don't really care about this football. I wanted to quit. We got up here the first play. And always the first play, they would give the ball to me and I'd have to run it right up the middle. I don't know why. I wanted to go to the outside, get away from them, try to outrun them. I wasn't going to outrun them. But that boy was standing right there in the middle. And I looked him right in his eyes. And courage came over me and I thought, I'm fine. I got this. Maybe somebody will block him. And I won't have to face him. The first play came, the quarterback comes and hands the ball to me. And I look, and he takes our 250-pound lineman and throws him down like that. And he's right here in front of my face. And I thought, this is it. Here it comes. And he took me, and he picked me up, and he slammed me too. That was the last time I ran up the middle. The rest of the game, I ran to the outside. And we got whooped. But Caleb was able to stare at this stuff and say, they might be bigger than me, but they ain't bigger than God. Them walls might be big, but God can tear them down. And your problem might be big this morning, but your God's bigger. My God's bigger. God is still big enough to face whatever comes your way. Caleb put his focus on the promise of God instead of the problem. Caleb chose to exercise faith in the presence of God rather than his own strength. And lastly, and I'm almost done, Caleb chose to follow the Lord no matter if anybody else did. Look at chapter number 14 and verse number 23. Well, finally, the 10 spies get their way. And they convince all these, I think it was 2 million people at least, to say, we're not going. We're not going up. And they got their way. So God says to Moses in these verses that lead up to chapter or verse number 23, He says, well, that's fine. They've tempted me now 10 times. They've turned away from me. They don't want to listen to me. They want to disobey me. They're going to turn around and they're going to do circles for 40 years until all of them die. And they're not going to come into the land which I want to give them. And that's what he says in verse number 23. He says, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. See, there's a point in our life to where we come to the bank of that promised land. And if we say no to God, we'll never get His blessing for our life. But look what he says in verse number 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto we went, and his seed shall possess it. Then in verse number 30, he says, Caleb and Joshua are going to be the only ones that come into this land. Because everybody else said no, because everybody else chose to focus on themselves and not on my promise, you're going to turn around, get in the wilderness, and do, if you look at a map of what they did, they literally did circles for 40 years. And they all died. Except two of them, Caleb and Joshua, because they followed the Lord with all of their heart. You got to realize that when you go to follow the Lord, you're going to have opposition every single time. Whether it's yourself, whether it's this world, or whether it's the devil. He'll face you every single time. And what he did with these 10 spies was he put fear in their minds that made them say, we're not able to go. And they feared the big people. They feared the big walls. And they said, we're not going. And the reason was Satan did not want them obeying God. Because Satan does not want you and I obeying God. Because I believe he knows that when we obey God, we get a blessing from it. And he did not want them going into the promised land, because they would receive God's blessing. And he doesn't want us to obey God. So what he's going to do? What he's going to do? I don't like that. He's going to put fear in our minds to say, we can't do this. I know God's telling me to do it, but I just can't do it. The 10 spies lost faith in God because they had fear over their circumstances. Or rather, Caleb followed God with all of his heart. Faith is knowing that God will keep his promise despite what's going on around you. Faith is looking at your Bible and say, God said it, I believe it, I don't care what anybody else around me says. Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. That means not a lot of people are going the way that we're going. That means when you start to follow God, when you start to go God's way and you turn around, there ain't going to be many people behind you. When you start to go the way that God wants you to do, you don't look ahead of you, and there ain't going to be nobody up there. You might be all by yourself. Caleb and Joshua were the only two going God's way. The song says, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. Caleb and Joshua went to the point of no return and said, I'm not going back. And they followed the Lord with all their heart. And can I tell you, if you go to Joshua chapter number 14, you'll find that they did not regret it one time. I've never met one person, I said it last time, that obeyed God and regretted it. But I can guarantee you these people who roamed for 40 years regretted one time disobeying God. But in Joshua chapter number 14, Caleb is 40 years old in this passage that we read this morning. If you'll go to Joshua chapter number 14, Caleb is now 85 years old. And he hadn't received God's promise yet. Yet they finally come into the land. And Caleb says, give me this land, because God promised it to me. And Caleb finally takes the land 45 years later. And do you think he regretted following God 40 years earlier? Not one time. Caleb might have died 2 days after he inherited the land. But he would have told you it was worth every second to say no to these people and yes to God. And it's so easy to let other people hold us back in following God. Because following God is uncomfortable. Following God is uneasy. Following God in the day in which we're living is unpopular. But following God is the best. And some of y'all can testify to that, and so can I. I've had more fun living for God than I ever did living for this world. I told you last time, I have more fun in my sleep than half people have awake. That's what Jesus will do for you. And musicians, you can come forward. I'm done. We're able this morning. I can almost guarantee that 90% of the people in here are going through a problem right now in their life. Because that's just a fact of life. But Caleb said, we are well able to overcome it. And do you know the main reason you and I are well able? I could have preached 1 minute. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is what? Able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. The only reason that you and I are able this morning is because we've got a God that's able. We serve a God that's able to do way more than we ever even think. But guess what that verse says? According to the power that works within us. That power that on that third day came into the grave when Jesus was dead and got him up is the same power that we have this morning, Brother Danny, living on the inside of us. And if that power can raise somebody from the dead, that power is surely enough to overcome the things that you face in your life. And it's the Holy Spirit of God. You're able this morning because God is able. Focus on how big God is. Focus on His promise. Put faith in Him. And just choose to follow Him right in the midst of whatever you're going through. And it might take you 45 years. But you'll come to the end and say, it was worth it. It was worth it. Because God is better to me than I ever deserved. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, God, and just what it means to us, God, and how we can find comfort and joy and direction for our life. Your word says that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And God, I pray that your word would lead us out of this place. God, we'll choose to walk according to your word. We'll choose to exercise our faith in you instead of ourselves. God, I just pray for every person in here, God, that whatever they might be going through this morning, I pray that you'll fill them up with your spirit, God, and give them the courage to face it because you are with them. The one who created the world, the stars, the sun, and the moon is walking by our side every single day. And God, we just thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us. We thank you that in this thing called life that we have you to lean on. And when we can't stand anymore, you said you'd uphold us. Father, we just thank you for that. And I pray you'll have your will and your way the rest of this service, God. If anybody needs to come forward and join the church or accept Jesus into their heart, Lord, I pray that they'd come and do business with you, Lord. We thank you so much for sending your Son to die for us that we might have all these precious promises in your Word. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.